Okay, we're starting today at the bottom of Tet Amud Bet by the two dots. We had Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer Ezer Muvah Lo Yuchal Letkon Ze Habal Harava Voli Mimena Mamzer. So we said that we can imply from here that you can't fix things if you had a mamzer. So it seems to imply holid in lo holid lo, only if you had a mamzer, if you had a child. But if you just slept with a regular eshet ish, that wouldn't be something you could have fixed. You say, how could that be? The Hatanya, doesn't it say in the bright to the same person, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Gonev Adam Efshar Shechzir Gnavo, V'yitaken. Gozel Adam Efshar Shechzir Gzalo, V'yitaken. Right? If you steal, you rob, you can basically return the item and fix it. Aval Habal Eshet Ish V'asra LeBa'ala, Asara LeBa'ala, Nitra Mina Olam V'alachlo. So if you sleep with an Eshet Ish, you now, she's Asur LeBoel and Asur LeBa'al. She's Asur both to her husband and to her, the guy she slept with. So therefore, you're basically, you've created a situation that's irreparable. And it's the same person saying it. The Braita continues, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Omer Bakru Gamal, Bakru Chazir, Ela Bakru Tale, Ve'eze Zeh Talmid Chacham Sheperesh Min HaTorah. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai point out? He says, when you check for mumim in an animal, you don't check for mum in a camel, you don't check for mum in a pig, because they're not kosher animals. Where are you checking for imperfections, basically? Where it matters. In a taleh, the one you want to bring for a sacrifice. So he says, just like he said in our Mishnah, now it's just describing it in a different way, Zeh Talmid Chacham Sheperesh Min HaTorah. Okay, he's giving an analogy that just like you only check the good items to make sure they're perfect, likewise, the Talmidei Chachamim, they're the ones who are checked to make sure. That's the guy who, if he messes up, he can't go back. It's interesting, the mum also, because the mum is a pgam, and there's nothing you could do about it, right? Depending, obviously, what kind of mum. There's a mum that could be. There's some that can't. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish amar, Kol Talmid Chacham Sheperesh Min HaTorah, Alav HaKatuv Omer. Okay, here the Braita continues and brings another opinion. I think, you know what? Maybe this is an Emorah. This might not be the continuation of the Braita. I think Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is later. I think he must be the son of, right, Rish Lakish also. He must be his brother. So it must be an Emorah. Now we're outside the Braita. He's bringing something similar to this. He says, Kol Talmid Chacham Sheperesh Min HaTorah, Alav HaKatuv Omer. Now we're going to bring Psukim to show this. Kitzipur nodedet min hakaneh, ken ish noded mimkomo. Okay, tzipur, its natural place is the kaneh, the nest, and when she wanders from the nest, is like a person who wanders from his place. And that's a Talmid Chacham Sheperesh Min HaTorah, he's wandering from the place where he really belongs. Ve'omer, in another pasuk, ma matzu avotechem bi'avel, ki rachaku me'alai. You're saying, what happened to the Jewish people that they distanced themselves from me? So to distance yourself, you have to first be close, right? There's no such thing as distancing if you're already far apart. So again, this analogy that those are close to God and they move away, those are the ones who are in the worst situation. Now we go back to I really don't know, because this seems like they're quoting a Braita. I assume Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is an Emorah. I'm a little bothered by this, but okay, we'll move on past it. But anyway, I want to see if it particularly says something here, although it's not necessarily accurate. It seems to indicate it's part of the Braita, but I don't know. Not sure. Okay, something to look up. So now they go back to this question. So on the one hand, you have the Molid Mamzer, and on the other hand, you have Lo Holid Mamzer. It's also irreparable because she can't go back to her husband now and she can't be with the new guy. So now they say, by the way, this is a big problem nowadays. Someone who doesn't get a halachic get, right? And then she goes and she gets married to somebody else. Right. So, not halachically married. But she becomes a situation where she's a sur leboel and a sur lebal. And these are very difficult situations that people get into because, not everybody is makpid to get a get. And then it creates a problem. And it's really a big problem. Okay. So now they say lo kasha. Now they're going to give a few different explanations. If you notice in the Mishnah, it doesn't say you slept with an eshet ish. What does it say? Zeh habal ha'erva. So it could be there, they're referring to one of the ervot that she wasn't an eshet ish. It was he sleeps with his sister. Okay? Where there's no issue of asur labal and asur laboel. That's not the issue. She's not married, his sister. The issue is only if you're molida mamzer in that case. But if it wasn't a regular erva, one of the ervot where, right, but it was an eshet ish case, then it would be a problem even if you weren't molid mamzer. That's one option. V'ibayit ema, another option, havaha be'eshet ish, they're both talking about a married woman. V'lo kash yakam ba'onis kam baratzon. Here there's an important halacha, that if you're raped, that halacha doesn't apply, it's only if it was consensual. So if she did it with consent, then it's asur laval and asur laboal, and therefore even if lo halid mamzer. But if it was ba'onis, then it wouldn't be irreparable because she's not asur to her original husband.
But there's still mamzer.
But
is it a mamzer?
That's a good question. I assume it's still a mamzer. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It would still be a mamzer, but she's allowed to go back to her original husband. I assume it's mamzer. Yeah. And here the assumption would be yes, because this is ba'onis, so this is beratzon. So the onus would be the mamzer case, definitely. V'ibayit ema, or a third option. Okay, now while it's true what I said, that if it's rape, she's allowed to go back to her husband, under one circumstance it's not the case. There's a horrible situation. If an eshet kohen gets raped, she can't go back to her husband. Okay, it's a really horrible situation.
It still holds?
It still holds, yeah. I mean, it could be they can find ways to get around it, but I don't know. But it's really a problematic, difficult halacha. So now they're going to say that's the answer. V'ibayit ema, another option is havaha ba'onis, both are rape, but lo kasha kam be'eshet kohen v'kam be'eshet Yisrael. Okay, so be'eshet kohen, it would be irreversible, even if lo holid mamzer. And in be'eshet Yisrael, only if you were molid mamzer. U'liyotze beba ein shalom. Now we're getting into this issue of the Talmid Chacham she'poresh min ha'Torah. So liyotze beba ein shalom, it's a pasuk from Zechariah. And what are they saying? What are they going to darshan this? Okay, to someone who goes and comes, there's no peace for him, okay? There's no good situation. So what's the situation here? We're going to have a few different interpretations. Amarav, kevan shiyotze adam midvar halacha lidvar mikra shuv ein lo shalom. If you're learning halacha, and then you decide to go learn Torah, like Tanakh, instead of halacha, you have no shalom. Like, that's a bad thing. Okay, what do they mean? The assumption is here, but some of them are fresh to explain anyway, you're learning halacha, and then Rashi explains this also, that you're learning halacha to know halacha lamaseh, and you're learning it from the Mishnah, the Gemara, all that, but then you go to the Torah, because you think the Torah is going to give you answers. Now the Torah, we all know, is not very clear cut when it comes to halacha. So that's what they're saying. Ushmuel amar, zeh haporesh mitalmud lamishnah. Even if you go to the Mishnah, you're not going to get good answers, right? You need the Talmud to really get the halacha, because the Mishnah, again, it gives you a bunch of different opinions. It doesn't necessarily give you what's halacha lamaseh. It's not as developed. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu mishas l'shas. Okay, the Mefarshim explained that to say, even if you go, Rashi says, mishas Yerushalmi l'shas Bavli. Okay, or some people say dafka the opposite. Mishas Bavli l'shas Yerushalmi. Okay, if you're learning one and you switch to the other, that's going to cause confusion for you because they're written in different styles. Some people say because some are more unclear and harder to understand, and it's unclear which one. Anyway, that's the... Okay. And also Rabbi Yochanan, you have to remember, is living in Eretz Yisrael. So it's more likely that he's saying if you leave the Shas Bavli and you go to the Shas Yerushalmi, the opposite. If you go from the Yerushalmi to the Bavli, that would be a bad thing. Okay. Now we get to a very famous Mishnah. Heter nidarim porchim ba'avir ve'ein lehem amashi yismochu. Okay, what does this mean? Now we're going to talk about, I'll just read a little bit more and then you'll see the comparison. Hilchot Shabbat chagigot v'hamilot, harehin kaharim hatluyim b'sahara, shehen mikra mu'at v'halachot merubot. Hadinim v'avodot hatarot v'atme'ot v'arayot, yesh lehen amashi yismochu ve'hen hein gufei Torah. Three categories here. There's things, I'm going to go from the last to the first. There's things that are written in the Torah very explicitly, okay? It's interesting, it actually compares to what we just said at the very end of the Gemara, even though obviously the Mishnah was written before the Gemara. But the Gemara, on the left, right, it almost like leads into this Mishnah about if you leave the Gemara and you start looking in the Torah for halachot, you're not going to find so much. Why? Because when it comes to certain things, okay? So let's start from the last cases. Dinim, dinei mamonot, avodot, korbanot, taharot, and tumot, okay, dine tumah v'tara, arayot, okay, arayot, all the arayot, we know they're all listed in the Torah. Those things are all listed directly in the Torah, and they're very clear-cut, and not only that, but then they say, hein, hein, gufei Torah. These are the ikar of the Torah. You can use that if you want also. It should be around the place. We're just on the Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph. So that's category number three. Category number three is, these are things that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, very clear cut. Category number two, as I said, I'm going backwards. We have Chagiga, okay, the Korban Chagiga. Sorry, I skipped the first. Hilchot Shabbat, Korban Chagiga, and Mi'ilot. Okay, we'll get to Mi'ilot in a minute. What's unique about these three things? They're like Harurim Hatluyim Besara. They're like a mountain. It's actually a weird analogy. I didn't get to a real good answer as to what, because usually mountains aren't hanging. Okay? But it's like a mountain hanging, I guess, like attached to the ground with a hair. Okay? Very, very little in the Torah. Okay? And a lot, like a har. I guess that's why they wanted to use a har. You imagine this big image of a har. A huge har full of information from the rabbis. Okay? This is all about Torah Shebaal Peh. And then category number one is Heter Nedarim Porchim Ba'avir. They're flying in the air. They've got nothing to connect to in the Torah. They're not mentioned anywhere. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you can go, you make a neder, you make a promise, and you want to cancel your promise, you can go to a chacham, and he'll cancel your promise for you, okay? Or you go to three, right? Either you go to a yachid mumche, or you go to three dayanim, which basically means any three people. We do that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? We have a minhag to do Heter Nedarim, where we go in front of three people, and we say, you know, all my nedarim should be matir. Nothing in the Torah about this. Okay? So now, let's go back for 1 minute. I said we get back to Mi'ilah. What is Mi'ilah? Okay, everything else we know what they are. Mi'ilah is when you use something that was hekdesh. Okay? Something that was set aside for the Beit HaMikdash. Somebody, you know, you took money and said, I'm going to give this to the Beit HaMikdash. And then you forget. Okay? It's always b'shogeg. You forget and you use it to buy your food in the house. Okay? Or for anything else that's chulin. Now, that's one case of shogeg. Another case of shogeg is you took money that you didn't know, but someone else had set aside. Let's say your husband took money and he said it's going to be for the Beit HaMikdash. You had no idea. You take it and you use it. You had no way of knowing. You still are chayav me'ila. What do you have to do? You have to pay back the money, the value of that item to the Beit HaMikdash. You have to add a fifth, and then a chomesh, and then you have to bring a korban called the asham me'ilot. Okay? That's me'ila. So now, there's going to be a whole long diyun in the Gemara. Are these things really not found in the Torah? And, okay, so in the category number one, they're going to have to find that Heter Nedarim doesn't appear anywhere in the Torah. Okay, and then where does it come from at all? Like, they want to find some sort of connection. So we're going to see also, the Mishnah says, Ein lehem mamash yismochu, but the first line in the Gemara is going to be, I'll read it right now, and then we'll go back and I'll say what else we're going to get to. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Yesh lehem mamash yismochu, okay? Now we're going to see different people say, it does have some sort of connection to the Torah, and they're going to bring various connections of Heter Nedarim to the Torah. Then with the Halchot Shabbat, Chagigo, Me'ilo, we're going to have to show how they're not really written in the Torah, what the Sa'ara that connects them, right? And are they really not expounded on the Torah? And what are they talking about there? And in the end, they're going to basically give a very particular case of them, in a bunch of the cases, that's what's not written in the Torah, okay? Because obviously, Hilchot Shabbat is mentioned many times in the Torah. What do you mean it's not mentioned in the Torah? So they're going to say,
there's this. Why are they putting the whole studies on its head? It's supposed to come from the Torah, derived and understood through this, and then our practice.
So I think they want to show, and a part of the issue is, are these the best examples? And that's really what the Gemara is getting into. Are these really the best examples of what you're showing? But they want to show, first of all, you have to remember, in the time of the Mishnah, there were all these sects that didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So being the rabbis of the Tanaim, they wanted to stress the importance of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why they're saying there's a lot of things we do that aren't connected, either aren't connected to the Torah at all, or aren't connected very strongly, but yet we have a strong Masoret about them, and that's what it's all about, in other words. And that's why I think they're giving this image of a mountain, right? It, also, what's the image of the mountain? Har Sinai, obviously, right? They want you to imagine, right? They're like a har, it's as if they came, and we had this all before. Halacha l'mot, right? Came, you Sinai, and it's all, okay? It's interesting also, what I mentioned last Mishnah, and the right that you can almost see all these Mishnayot is ending Masechet Moed. They're trying to get to basic tenets of our beliefs, you know, and basic things, right? Whether it be chevrati things and how we treat other people with different means, or whether it be the Torah Shebal Peh and what the Masoret is all about. It's almost like all these things are connected with some different type of, right? It's connected with Chagiga because Chagiga is one of the things, but they're trying to use it as a springboard to kind of summarize things.
There's a clear image with the mountain hovering.
Right, well, also Har, right, Kafala Kigigit, right. You also imagine that thing about the Har hanging up there, exactly.
Which emphasizes its importance.
Again. Right, which emphasizes the importance of the Torah and again, the Torah Shebal Peh. Okay, so I think that's what they're really getting at. They want to say, now what does this mean at the very end when it says the things that are really yesh lahan amash yismochu in the Torah, the hein hein gufei Torah, what does that mean? We're going to get into that later also. Okay, so let's start. Tanya, so Rabbi Lezer says they have what to rely upon. Shenamar, ki yafli, shtei pa'amim. There's two times in the Torah where it says ki yafli. Okay, one is with nidarim, and one is with nazir. Okay, what does it mean ki yafli? Ki yafli means when you express, when you say something in words. So why does it say it twice? Now, obviously, it says it twice because it's used in each place, in their own place. But they're going to darshan this, shtei pa'amim. Achat hafla liisur veachat hafla leheter. What does it mean to express yourself? Well, you go and you express yourself, right? So the first time you express yourself that you want to do this neder, you take upon yourself something. The second time you express yourself is that you want to get rid of the neder. So that's what the second expression is. The second expression is when you go to the chacham and you have to explain to him, listen, I took this neder, but I just can't do it anymore, and I have this problem, and then, right, this is what generally happens. You go, you say, this is, I can't do it, and you have what's called charata, the same with tshuva, right? You have to have charata and say, I'm sorry, I did it, I feel bad, I have regret, I can't handle it. And then the chacham has to decide, is there a way to find some opening to basically say, it was a ta'ud, you didn't mean to, you, or the situation changed, and therefore he can take it off of you. So that's the second hafla. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, yesh lahem mamash yismochu. Okay, we're going to see, like I said, a lot of different opinions as to what they can rely upon. Shenemar, asher nishbati be'api. Im yivu'un amunuchati. Right, we all know this. You know what this pasuk is about? It's that God says, okay, it's a pasuk from Tehillim, that I swore in my anger that I wasn't going to let you go into Eretz Yisrael. This is in the Miraglim, okay? So now, what is it? What do you see here? Be'api nishbati. Right? When you do something out of anger, usually you regret it after. Ve'chazarti bi, and I was chozer bi. Now, this has a little bit of a problem. First of all, let me just say clear cut, what do you see here? You see here that if God can make a shvuah and go back upon it, then also we can. The bit of a problem here is that God really didn't go back on his shvuah, because he said that the Dor Hama, right, Hamaradim isn't going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they actually did it. So one of the Mepharshim wants to say, so first of all, it could be God regretted it even though he didn't change his mind. Okay? It could be he still was chozer bo in what he said, but he kept his promise anyway. But then it doesn't exactly prove this. What it also shows, what some people say, im yivu'unu mnuchati, is that he said, you're not going to go to Olam Haba. And that he was chozer bo, and they actually did go to Olam Haba, because they got punished in Olam Hazeh, and were able to go to Olam Haba. Obviously, we don't know if that's really the case or not, but some of them approach him, try to do that to make this make a little bit more sense. Or you could say it's just expressing the notion that people make swears out of anger, and they regret it later, and right. And even though God might not have gotten, you know, changed what he did, but man might want to change what he did. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, yesh lo mamash yismochu, shenemar, kol nidiv libo. Okay, here they say, because it's in Hoveh, everyone who wants, right, who wants to do it from his heart. Now, what does that mean? Let's say you decide, what was this in the Truma to the Beit HaMikdash, when they were building, sorry, the Mishkan. When they were building the Mishkan, everybody brought, kol nidiv libo, brought what they wanted. So why do they say it's in Hoveh? Because, what does it mean? Let's say you decide, I'm going to bring this to the Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to bring my table. I really, you know, I think it would be great in the Beit HaMikdash. And then you change your mind, you say, you know what, I don't really have the money to buy a new table. At the time that you give it, it was nidvat libo. He really wanted in his heart to do it. So therefore, if you had said you were going to do it and you changed your mind, then you didn't have to bring it to the Mishkan. Okay? But here you see, you have the opportunity to change your mind because you only give it when you're nidiv libo, when your heart wants to do it. Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua Omer, okay, the brother, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua, says, yes, on the Mashiach Smochu Shneamar. This is David HaMelech. Nishbati, right? It's from Tehillim. Nishbati va'akayma lishmor mishpatei tzikecha. What does he say? I swore, and then I fulfilled to do your mishpatim. So why would he have to say, I swore and I fulfilled? Obviously, if you swear, then you have to fulfill your swear. So what do you see here? He said, I swore and I fulfilled, because there's an option not to fulfill. And I didn't opt into that, but there is an option. Okay, so they all try to find psukim. Now, okay, these are all Emoraim. These are all Tanaim. Comes along an Emora. We saw this exact structure in, I think it was in Megillah. Okay, what happens here? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now comes an Emora. Okay, the second generation Emora says in the name of the first generation Emora of Shmuel. If I was there in this discussion, Amrei lehu didi adifa miditchu, I would have said I got a much better proof than the rest of you guys. Shneamar lo yachel dvaro. Okay, this is said in the context of a neder, and it says you can't not fulfill your word. Okay, you can't nullify your vow. So what did you learn from here? Hu eino mochel aval achirim mochalim lo. Just he can't. Lo yachel dvaro means you can't. Okay, but someone else can. That's what it implies. So now the exact same thing happened in Megillah, where we said here, Amarava, Likulhu Ilu Leupircha, Livar Midid Shmuel. Everybody here I can contradict. I can raise a question for every single proof except for Shmuel. Okay? So it was the same structure where you had a whole bunch of Tanaim, you have this one Amara who gives, I can't remember if it was Shmuel or not, but he says, mine is better than the rest of theirs, and here's my proof. And then a later Emora, a few generations later, comes and says, I have a question on all those other guys except for the last one, who's an Emora. Right? Usually the Tanaim are stronger. In this case, first of all, it's not a halachic thing. It's just a proof. Right? It's just a pasuk. So it's a little easier to do that kind of thing. So now, Amarava. So the Kulu, okay. Now we're going to go through. Di'imi to Rabbi Elazar. Okay, now I have to remember each one. Rabbi Elazar was kiafli, kiafli. Dilma ka Rabbi Yehuda shamar mishum Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe he needs the word kiafli to learn this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. What's this halacha? Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Tarfon. Lo'olam ein echa mehem nazir shelo nitna nazirut ela lahafla. The word kiafli in nazir comes to teach us a specific halacha. It means you have to express, okay, definitively. Okay? Definitively you have to express it. What does that mean? Let's say we're walking on the street, me and Razel. And we see a guy, and Razel says, I'm sure that guy's a Nazir. And I say, I am sure that guy is not a Nazir. Okay, maybe we see a guy with long hair on the street, right? Razel, I'm convinced this guy's a Nazir. And Razel says, I'm so convinced he's a Nazir that I'm going to be a Nazir if he's a Nazir. And I say, I'm so convinced he's not a Nazir that I'm going to be a Nazir if he's not a Nazir. Okay, I'm going to become a Nazir. So neither of us become a Nazir, no matter what the status of this guy is, because that's not kiafli. That's not a definitive expression. You have to take it upon yourself, knowing 100% you're taking it upon yourself. You can't condition it upon something. You can't say it in some way that who knows whether it's going to be or not. Okay, so therefore, kiafli, this is like yesterday, it's not panoi, right? It's not free for this other drasha. Okay, that's it. Next one. Imi de Rabbi Yoshua, okay, he said, Asher nishbati ba'api. Hachi ka'amar. Ba'api nishbati v'lo hadranabi. Maybe the pasuk is saying, I swore in anger, but I didn't. In other words, I mean what I said when I was angry, right? You can imagine this with your kids, right? You get angry at your kids and you say something and you say, I'm punishing you, this and that. And then later you're feeling better, but you still say, I still hold to my original punishment. Just because I did it out of anger doesn't mean that I didn't mean it. Okay, there's obviously this lack of clarity about whether God was chozer bo or not from this swear. Imid Rabbi Yitzchak, who said, kol nediv libo, dilma la'afuke midishmuel. Maybe it comes, the words nediv libo, come to say we don't agree with Shmuel. Da'amar Shmuel, gamar b'libo, sarich shiotzi b'sfatav. V'ha'kamash malan, da'af agav delo hotzi b'sfatav. Shmuel says, if you were gomer b'lev, you have to express it. Okay? Just 1 second. If you make a shvua or a neder, you have to express it in words. And the nediv libo is coming to say, even if it's just in your heart, that's enough. Okay, that works. And that's what nediv libo is coming to teach you, and not that there's heter nedarim. Okay, next one. Imi dechanani ben achi Rabbi Yishmael, who said that, nishpati va'akkaima lishpor mitzitei tzikecha. Now, what's the problem here? Maybe he holds like Rav Gidol Amarav. Damar Rav Gidol Amarav. Minayin shenishbeim lekayem et hamitzvah. Maybe you can't even make a shvua. What did he say? I swear that I'm going to do the mishpatei tzikecha. I'm going to keep your mitzvot. What does it mean? You can't swear. First of all, there's this issue of mushba va'omei mehar sinai. You're already You already swore at Har Sinai, so there's no issue. How can you swear? So what's the issue of swearing? The issue of swearing is to be mizarezit atzmecha, to push yourself, to give yourself that push to do the mitzvah. Right? You say, this year I'm buying a lulav and etrog and I'm going to do the arba minim. Right? Even you want to say it just to make sure that you actually do it. You say, I swear I'm going to do it. So now, where do you learn that you're allowed to do such a thing? That's what that pasuk is coming to teach you. And it's not coming to teach you that nishbati v'akayma, that he did something unique, right? Because you can actually not be makayim your shvua. Ela dishmua leitle pircha. Okay, there's no question I can ask on shmua. Lo yachel dvaro makes a lot of sense. Right? You have to keep it, but other people can break it. I'm a rabbi, v'itamer of Nachum bar Yitzchak. Hainu dam rei inche. This is how we ended yesterday, so you also. This is what people say. Tavachada pilpata harifta mimale tzana dekare. Better one pilpil harif, okay, one very hot pepper from a whole basket full of gourds, okay, squashes. Okay, why? Because here you had a whole thing full of tana'im who all say great things, but in the end you had that one harif guy who was smart enough to figure out a much better proof than the rest of them. Okay, Hilchot Shabbat. Now we're going to get into all these details of these laws. Hilchot Shabbat, now we want to see. What do you mean Hilchot Shabbat is taloi b'se'ara, right? It's like a har of bal peh, right? Torah Shabbat peh, and there's just
why
a little bit in the Torah.
It's on an exhaustive list.
Well, kashrut, right.
Kashrut is one that's really hardly in there.
Right, all the details of kashrut. Right, there's so many things they could have used. It's a really good question. The truth is, I'd like to look at Safra's book on this, about he has a more literary approach to it and why they picked these. I'll try to look at it for tomorrow, see if he says something interesting about it. Right? It's a very good question, this Mishnah. No, you're asking good questions. Like, you know, as always in Daf Yomi, it's hard to find the time to look up everything and to see everything, but it's a very good question, this Mishnah. And like I said, it's a very famous Mishnah. I'm sure we could look up lots of things about it and people who talk about it. Okay. Hilchot Shabbat. So now the Gemara says, Michtav Ktivan. What do you mean? They're written tons of times that mention Shabbat in the Torah. What do you mean they're not written in the Torah? Lo tzrichi l'chid Rabbi Abba. It's needed for what Rabbi Abba said. To Amar Rabbi Abba, ha-chofer guma b'Shabbat, ve'ein sarich ele lafra. This is good chazara from Masechet Shabbat, if you guys remember, whoever learned it. If you dig a hole, now normally you dig a hole, it's a problem. It could be bone, it could be choresh, okay? You need the hole dug, right? For those kind of things. But if you dig it for the purpose of taking the dirt, because you need the dirt to cover something up, okay? Maybe you went to the bathroom and you covered up what you made, right? That's what they did in those days. So a chofer guma b'Shabbat, be'ein sarich ele lafra, patur aleha. That's what's not written in the Torah, okay? Your patur, it's called a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, okay? And that's what he says here. Kiman, who does this go according to? The Rabbi Abba's statement. Ki Rabbi Shimon, da'amar, if you remember, there were a lot of machlokot, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, about malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, davar she'ena mitkaven, all these things where you're not exactly doing the malacha the way it was supposed to be done, you're not doing it right. There was a whole debate we saw then about how exactly malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is defined, what's the category. Anyway, here we say it goes like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon's the one who said malacha she'ena tzricha legufa patur aleh. Okay, so therefore, number one, we say, what's the part of Shabbat that's not written in the Torah, that's like the chut, right? It's the little chut. The little chut is this issue of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Okay, the other case that they give for malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is taking out a dead body, okay? The general malacha potza is you want to take something into Rishut Arabim, or you know, into a different Rishut. When you have a dead body in the house and it's starting to smell and you want to take it out of your house because you don't want it in the house, you're taking it out, but not because you want it outside, but because you don't want it inside. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's also another case of malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. But what do they say here? Here they're giving the example just of chofer guma and not of that one. So now they say, a chofer guma b'Shabbat, ve'ena tzricha l'afra, that's what you needed it for. And then they say, right, that's Rabbi Abba. Then they say, that's like Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to say, even filu tema le Rabbi Yehuda. You could even say that Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says generally, malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayav. Rabbi Yehuda agrees, in this case, he would agree with Rabbi Shimon. In this case, he wouldn't agree with him in the dead body. Why? What's the difference? Hata mitaken hacha mekalkel. In our case, he's mekalkel. He's ruining his ground, right? He's digging a hole. That's messing up his ground. In the case of the dead body, he's mitakein, right? He's fixing something. He's just, or he's not mekalkel anyway. So, right, he's fixing his house that it doesn't smell. So now, what are they learning from here? Whether you say it's Rabbi Shimon, whether you say it's Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't really matter. The issue here is that, what are we learning here? That if you have a melacha that's mikalkel, you're not chayav midoraita. In other words, that's not asur. A destructive act is not Shabbat. Now, what's the chut asara that connects it to the Torah? Mai kaharavina tliyim b'sara, melechat machshevet asra Torah, umelechat machshevet lo ktiva. Okay? They're saying, that's not written in the Torah. What exactly means melechat machshevet? It's written in the Torah, melechat machshevet. Okay? But it's not written what exactly melechat machshevet is, right? And the way the rabbis explain melechat machshevet is, it has to be a creative act and not a destructive one. And why is that? Because it comes from the building of the Mishkan, right? There's this whole comparison of the Lamatet Melachot to what they did in the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was an act of building and creating, and it also connects with, it's like man's way of being like God on the earth, right? God created the world, and therefore we have to rest from whatever God created. So therefore it's only creative acts and not destructive acts. And that's this issue of the Chofer Guma. Okay, Chagigot. Mechtav Tivam, what do you mean? We learned already. Chagot Moto Chag LaShem, remember? And we say Chag is a Korban Chagiga. So now they say, Lo tricha l'chida amr le Rapapa l'abaye. Rapapa said to Abaye like this. Mimai dahai v'chagot moto Chag l'Hashem zvicha. How do you know the Chag l'Hashem is a Korban? Maybe Dilma chugu chaga ka'amr. Maybe it's, Rashi explains chugu chaga as laharbot b'simcha. Okay, maybe it means you're supposed to enjoy yourself and have a great day and have fun, and you know, probably it means eating meat, but it doesn't necessarily mean eating meat of a sacrifice. So therefore, v'chagot matochag l'Hashem isn't explicitly mentioned in the Torah, right? It's explicitly mentioned in the Torah, but it's not mentioned. It has to be a korban. That's what Rav Papa is saying. He's saying it doesn't necessarily mean, and therefore that would be the case. But now they're going to raise a whole series of questions on this. And they're going to say it seems very clear the Chagotem is a Korban Chagiga. Ha. Ela me'ata dichtiv v'yachogu li b'midbar. Okay, remember when Moshe says to Paro, we want to go out and we want to go and celebrate to God in the Midbar. Hachanami dechugu chagohu. Are you going to say that that also means we just want to celebrate? B'chitem hachanami, and if that's what you want to say, the Chag means celebration, right? If Chag means celebration, and it doesn't mean korban, well, there it seems clear it means korban. Why? V'haktiv v'yomer Moshe gamatati tem biyadenu zvachim v'olot. It says you're going to, right? You're going to give us to bring zvachim and olot. Zvachim and olot are clearly korbanot, or maybe not. We'll see in a minute. But okay. So first they say chag could be celebration. They say no, because it says in the midbar, right? In the bayachogli b'midbar, zvachim and olot. But then they say no. Dilma, maybe it means Hakikama Rahmana. The Torah, when it says it, maybe it means Ichlu Vishtu V'chogu Chaga V'chogu Chaga Kamai before me. Okay? So then they say, so maybe the Zvachim and Olot don't mean Zvachim and Olot sacrifices. How you say Olot doesn't mean sacrifices, I don't know. But they say maybe Zevach is just to eat meat, and that's what it means, and that's not, it's not Korbanot. So now they say, but it still doesn't appear the Chag, okay? If you reject that, the V'chogoli b'midbar, there's another place where Chag appears, and it's clear it's Chagiga, and it happens to be in the context of the Korban Chagiga. Lo sakadatach dichtiv b'lo yalin chelev chagia boker. Remember we saw this before, the chelev chagi proves that the Chagiga has to be from an animal and not an oaf, because there's no chelev in oaf, and certainly not in a mincha. So now they say another proof from here. What does it say? Don't leave the chelev from my chag. My chag is clearly the korban chagiga. B'sakadatach dechugehu tarba lechuga itlehu. Right? Is there a chelev in a simcha? No. V'dilma hachi kamarachmana. No. Maybe you can explain it some other way. Chelev haba bizman chag. Okay. Now they're going to have this whole thing, and they're going to say that lo yalin. Okay, let's try on the board. Lo yalin chelev chagi. Okay? First we said it means chelev of my chagiga, right? Yeah. Now they say maybe it means chelev of the korbanot haba'ot bizman hachag. Okay, which wouldn't mean necessarily chagiga. It could be any of the korbanot that you bring during the chag, during the celebration of that holiday. You can't leave overnight. What does it mean, by the way, lo yalin? You have to burn it that night. You can't leave it till the morning without burning it. Okay. That's their explanation now. So now they say, no, if you want to say that, though, you have a problem. Elame'ata, what does that imply, then? That only the chelev that comes from the korbanot haba'ot bizman chag lo yalin. Okay, elame'ata, haba bizman chag hu de lo yalin. Ha de kol ha'shana kula yalin. But then it would be that anything during the year, right? If it means just chelev of my chagiga, so somehow you can explain, yes, it's about the chagiga, but it also relates to other korbanot. Okay, why? Because, you know, I'll explain that in a minute, why it can't be that option. But they're saying here, if it means korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, that seems to imply only korbanot haba'ot bizman chag is an isur of lo yalin. Okay? But regular other sacrifices, there is no isur. That's a problem. The pasuk says, okay, now you have the whole pasuk. I'll read you the whole pasuk. Savat aron ve'epanav, it's vayikravav, in the middle of the korbanot. Lemur, zot torat ha'ola. Okay, it comes up by the ola. It says, this is the ola. Okay, he ha'ola ha'mokdav, ala mizbeach kol ha'layla, ad ha'boker, ve'esh ha'mizbeach tukad bo. Okay, so now it says, this goes kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. In other words, you have to burn the chelev. It has to be burnt that night, ad ha'boker. So what do you see? That also other korbanot, all the korbanot olah for sure, have this issue of lo yalin. So therefore, to say that it's just korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, why did you say it could be chagiga? Because this is an ola, and chagiga is a shlamim. So you might have thought that it's telling you not just the ola, but also the chagiga, which is a shlamim. The chagiga has the same halacha as the ola. But if you want to say it's all the korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, they're already included, right? Then it would seem to disinclude the ola that happens during the year. And then you'd have a problem, because the pasuk says explicitly that you have to burn it. So now what do they say? If you notice, the nisuach in that pasuk is different. Right? It's, you burn it all night. It doesn't say lo yalin, right? It's in the affirmative. You have to burn it, as opposed to lo yalin, you can't leave it. So now, what do they say? Dilma ima hu hava mina hau la'ase. You might have thought, from just the ola pasuk, that means there's a mitzvah ase to burn it. Bakata rachmana hai lilav, but on a chag, any of the korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, if you do lo yalin, you're also over on an ase and a lo tase. Okay? And that's the chiddush of this pasuk, and therefore you could say it's korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, and not just the chagig. Right? In which case, we don't have proof yet for chagig in the Torah, just to remind you what we're up to here. Okay. So now they say, wait a minute. But then they say, Lalav katzav krachrina. There's another pasuk. Velo yalin min habasar asher tizbach be'erev b'yom arishon laboker. What does that mean? That's about the korban pesach. It says when you bring the chagiga with the korban pesach, you can't remember we talked about that there was a chagiga they bring on erev pesach. This is good. We get to review lots of things, right? Even though you don't have real chazara in daf yomi, you constantly have repetition. There was a chagiga they brought on your dalet. If you didn't have enough food to eat from the korban pesach, you would bring a chagiga to allow everybody to eat ala sova. Right? They were supposed to eat a lot of food and be satisfied. And if they split this one animal into all sorts of pieces because they had a big chabura, then you would need more meat. So that chagiga lo yalim min abasar shetizbach be'er v'yom arishon laboker. So therefore, you already have a lav in connection with a chagiga. So you wouldn't need it to say lo yalim chelev chagi to be that. So then they say to be the korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, because you see already it's korbanot haba'ot bizman chag. So now what do they say? The dilma lav or lav v'shnei lav in ba'aseh. Maybe you could say that in that case, on the chagiga, on korban pesach, right, that would be two lotases. The lotase of lo yalin chelev chagi of korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, and additionally, this issue of dafka the chagiga brought there, and you have two lavim and one ase. Sometimes, by the way, there's situations where in one act you can be over on a number of lavim. Okay. So therefore, they say in the end that it could still be korbanot haba'ot bizman chag, because you could say that all these extra psukim are adding a lotase, adding two lotases, and that doesn't bother us. So now, they say, but maybe, so now you can't learn chagiga from here, so now we're in good shape. However, they say, ela atya midbar midbar, you could learn it from this gzerah shavah midbar midbar. What's the gzerah shavah? K'tiv ha'chav yachogoli b'midbar. Now we're going to the first pasuk we brought about Moshe. Moshe says, I want to do a korban in the midbar, and we said, maybe it's not a korban, right? Maybe it's just meat, and therefore it doesn't teach anything about the chagiga being a korban. U'k'tiv ha'tam, says in Amos, we saw this pasuk also, hazvachim u'mincha yigashon li b'midbar. You didn't bring me any zvachim or mincha in the midbar. What did they learn here? Because the word midbar appears there, and the word midbar appears there, they do gzeirah shavah, and they say, ma lahalan zvachim, af kan zvachim. There it's clear they're talking about korbanot. Right, they obviously, right, that it's clear, it's korbanot there. You didn't bring me any sacrifices in the midbar. So just like there it's korbanot, here it's also korbanot. So now we have a problem. Because now we have that, right, the gzeirah shavah midbar comes to teach us that v'yachogu li b'midbar is korbanot. And then v'yachogu li b'midbar and chag, in our case, would be korbanot. So what do they say now? Give a good answer. My harim hatluyim b'sara. So then, how could you say it's harim hatluyim b'sara? There's a gzeirah shavah. Gzeirah shavah is one of the yugim u'midot that are under drasha by him. It's very strong. Anyone think of where they're going with this? Divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah lo yofkinan. This is not a typical gzeirah shavah. Gzeirah shavah is usually a pasuk and a pasuk from the Torah. Here they take a pasuk and they learn it out from a pasuk in the Navi. They take a pasuk in the Torah and compare it to a pasuk in the Nevi'im. That's already harim hatluyim b'sara. That's not the general principle. So the way we darsh in the Torah, gzeirah shavah, is Torah. This is already, generally, we don't learn from Divrei Kabbalah Halacha, and therefore, the fact that the rabbis allowed this gzeirah shavah is clearly rabbinical, okay? And it's trying to say, this is where the rabbis connected it with this chut ha-sara, right? Like a hair, to the Torah. Okay, mi'ilamt. Michtav ktivan, also mi'ilah, is said in the Torah. It says what you're supposed to do. It says you're supposed to bring an ashram mi'ilot. You know, what do you mean? Amar Rami Barhama, lo nitzar cha'elek lekiditnan. It's to teach you this particular case. This is fascinating. Hashaliach she'asah shlichuto. Let's say you send someone to take your money and buy you vegetables. Okay? You send him, and you send him with money that was hektish. You didn't realize it was hektish. He didn't realize it was hektish. Okay? It's all shogig. Now, Baal habayit, who's responsible? What do we normally say? Ein shliach lidvar avera. What does that mean, ein shliach lidvar avera? If a shaliach does something, you say to someone, right, this is the case we always brought when I was a kid, okay? Someone tells you to jump off the Empire State Building, would you do it, right? You tell your mom, oh, my friend told me to do it, you know, I didn't, it wasn't my fault, he told me to do it. Your mother said, he said jump off the Empire State Building, would you do it? No, obviously not. So what does it mean, ein shliach lidvar avera? The shliach has his own da'at, right? He knows. So if you tell him to do something wrong, and he does it, it's his problem, not your problem. On the other hand, we have shlucho shel adam kmoto, which means that a shaliach can fulfill your work. So we have this contradiction here. So now, what do they say? If the shaliach, you sent him to pay your money, who did the me'ila? So what do they say? Baal abayim ma'al. Okay? If he does exactly what you told him, then the baal abayim gets the avera of me'ila. But if he did his own thing, let's say you told him to buy grapes and he bought cucumbers, that he used his own dad. And once he uses his own dad, it becomes his act and not your act. Okay? And therefore, he becomes not really your shaliach anymore and he's responsible. Now they say, right? If he was doing his own shlichut, in the case where the baal habayit is chayav, right? Don't we say he's the one who did the chay? Neither of us intended anything, right? None of us knew it was me'ila money. It was kekdesh money. So what did they say? That's the chidush. That's what the rabbis taught us in me'ila that wasn't in the Torah. That if the shliach does it for you, it's your me'ila and not his. Against what normally we would say. So I'm a rabba, my kushya. Why would that be so hard to understand? It should be obvious. Dil mashane me'ila, this should be obvious that the baal habayit is chayav. Why? Diyalfa chet chet mitruma. Ma hatam shlucho shel adam kamoto, ach kan shlucho shel adam kamoto. Just like truma is kodesh, and me'ila is kodesh. Truma, if you take my fruits and you take truma to masro from them, that works for me. It's exactly as if I was doing it. So likewise, me'ila should work the same. If you do it for me, it works for me. It's shlucho shel adam kamoto. Like I said, there's these two contradictory things. He's saying it should be obvious. You shouldn't need to say that's karim atlim basara, because it's based on the principle of shlucho shel adam kamoto, and we can learn it out from Trum. So Elam, a rabbi, says, no, we need it for a different case. Lo nitzercha ela l'chaditanya. Here's fascinating, okay? What if you send your shaliach to do, you send them with money. All of a sudden you remember, he's on the way, okay? Remember, no cell phones, no communication. He's on the way to buy your food. All of a sudden you remember, wait a minute, I gave him the money to use for hektish. There was hektish money. I had set that aside to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. So what do? You say in your head, well, I don't want him to be my shaliach anymore. I don't want him to go buy that food. For you, it's no longer me'ila, because it's not shogeg. Me'ila is shogeg. But for him, it's now shogeg. This is what he says. Nizkar baal habayit, the lo nizkar shaliach. The shaliach doesn't realize, but the baal habayit does. Shaliach Ma'al. Okay? So the Shaliach does Me'ilah. So now they say, Shaliach Anya Maika Avid. This poor Shaliach, what did he do? He didn't do anything, right? He was just trying to do what you sent him to do, and this poor guy now is over on Me'ilah because you realized and you correct your mistake, but he doesn't. Ay vavoy. Hainu Karim Atliyim Basara. He says, that is what this unique halach is. Okay, we're going to go on one more minute. Amar of Ashi, my kusha, but what do you mean? Dilma mindi dahava hamotzima otek desh lechulin. You can't possibly say the balabayit is chayav, because what did he do? He was, it must be just like someone who's motzima otek desh lechulin. One second. In other words, the whole issue of me'ilah is that it's shogeg. So you're right, this poor guy, what did he do? You're right, he didn't do anything. But anybody's chayav in me'ilah, even though they didn't do anything. Like I said in the beginning, me'ilah could be that you set aside money for hekdesh and you forgot. Or it could be you never even knew that that money was hekdesh. So therefore, there's no chiddush there. That's the basic din of me'ilah. That anyone who takes ma'od of me'ilah and turns them into chulin, uses them for chol, is always mo'el. So you can't say this poor shaliach, it wasn't his fault. Of course it wasn't his fault, but me'ilah is never his fault. That's the halacha me'ilah, and therefore, again, you can't say it wasn't written in the Torah. That's the din of me'ilah. So Rav Ashi, we're going to start with this tomorrow. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation as to what this unique halacha of me'ilah is, that it's kichut tataloi basara. Okay, like harim atzlim basara. So they're each just trying to find cases, and they're trying to say, this isn't obvious from the Torah, but then they keep getting rejected by saying, no, that really is all part of the basic Torah laws of either of shlichut or of me'ilah particularly. Okay. These are just interesting in terms of, I find this very interesting, in terms of the shaliach and what you're responsible for and this whole din of me'ilah. And, you know, whenever you get into shogeg, there's obviously different levels of shogeg. How shogeg you were, right? And here, you see that even if you had no idea whatsoever, you're chayav anyway. And all the more so when you're a shaliach and you're doing it for somebody else. That's what they don't mention here. That it's true that me'ilah, the basic laws of me'ilah are you had no idea, even if you had no idea. But this guy was like doing something for someone, right? And as a result of doing someone a favor, right, he gets messed up. So anyway, it's an interesting set of